Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.7 in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site, and you can hear all of our episodes over on DogWorksRadio.com. Make sure you follow us over on social media. Just search for DogWorks Radio, and all of our episodes are over on DogWorksRadio.com. So calling in from California is the co-host of Mushing Radio, Alex Stein. Alex, how's it going?
It is going really well, Robert. I'm over the whole Labor Day thing, and it feels like we're getting colder here. I imagine it's getting a lot colder there. So I think we're all thinking, when is it going to snow, and are we going to have a really good winter?
You know, I am expecting the same thing here. When the heck is the white stuff going to fly? It is a little chilly. Just over the last week, we're dipping down into the 30s at night. We've started fall training, which a lot of teams have. I've seen all of the Facebook posts and pictures, and everybody has those hopes and dreams of Iditarod championships and UConn Quest quests and just about everything. So I'm looking forward to following along on this year's mushing, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I know that we are, you know, we're still a little bit a ways, but it's not going to be too long before the season starts, and we're already starting to see a few kennels and a few teams are not yet ditching the four wheelers, but they're talking about getting the sleds ready. So I think we're all really, really psyched for the upcoming season.
Right. You know, a pretty good rule of thumb up here in South Central Alaska is if the trails and lakes are frozen by Halloween and we're on sleds by Thanksgiving, it's going to be a great season. So that's what we're hoping for. Even though it's only mid-September now, we still have about a month and a half to go before Halloween. But I think if everything works out, everything will be good to go.
Excellent. And I know that this is the time when all of the mushers are starting to work with their dogs and starting to get all of their ducks in a row, so to speak. So all of their equipment, all of their training strategies for early in the season. So it may not seem like a lot is going on yet, but actually behind the scenes there's a tremendous amount of activity.
That's exactly right. So today, Alex, what we're going to talk about is what are some ways to follow mushing. Unless you are a musher or part of the scene, it's kind of a difficult sport to follow, isn't it?
Can be. It's I think back to when I first started following Iditarod in particular, which was in the early 2000s, and it was much, much more difficult to follow it then. It's especially from far away. It's become much easier, which I think all of us fans are very happy about.
So what we're going to do is give our listeners kind of our favorite ways to follow mushing, and we'll just go back and forth, and I'll go ahead and start, Alex. Of course, my favorite way of following mushing, and the Iditarod in particular, is our show, Mushing Radio, on mushingradio.com. We typically do a nightly broadcast during Iditarod. It's not like any other broadcast that is on the air. I think we're the only nightly internet radio show during Iditarod, but we're on every week of the year. We try to host every Wednesday night at 5 o'clock Alaska time. That would be 9 p.m. Eastern time. But that's probably the best way to get your up-to-the-minute coverage, at least during Iditarod. What is your favorite way?
You stole my favorite way.
Of course.
So let me just mention that one of the best ways to follow mushing in general, and especially the Iditarod, is there's a lot of stuff on Facebook. So almost all of the top kennels and most of the major kennels and a lot of the middle of the packers and even the back of the packers have at the very least a Facebook page. And you know, a few years ago that used to be something that they didn't spend a lot of time on it, but now more and more people are recognizing, mushers are recognizing the importance of having a social media presence, and a lot of people will have either a friend or a relative or someone who is dedicated to updating things on social media. So that's one of the first places I would look. The Iditarod Trail Committee has a Facebook page that has a lot of information that they update fairly frequently, and all of the major kennels, as I said, will have things and will post periodic updates, and then during races more and more updates.
And also on Facebook, the Yukon Quest has a great site where they update quite a bit. They're really ahead of the curve in terms of Facebook posts. I mean, they really do a great job over there at the Yukon Quest, as well as all of the other races do a pretty good job updating throughout the race on comings and goings of kennels, who is in the lead, who's dropped out, etc. So yeah, Facebook is a great place to follow. And my next one, and these aren't in necessarily any type of order, I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head. What do you think, Alex, about this new way that people are posting on Facebook with Facebook Live? I can just imagine coming up this year, we're going to see a bunch of the race starts on Facebook Live, and maybe some of the you know, some of the checkpoints and that sort of thing, if they have Wi-Fi in particular. I think that's going to be a new and fun way to follow some of these races, because it's tough unless you have, you know, Iditarod Insider or something like that. It's tough to see the actual start of the race, isn't that right?
Yeah. In Alaska, the start of the race is televised, so people can watch it on TV. But unless you have the Insider, I don't think you can watch it live. So I think you're right. We're going to see a lot more of that, and a lot of people using another platform called Periscope, which enables people to just do live broadcasts. The Facebook Live things that I've seen so far have been, some of them are great and some of them are not great. I am not quite sure what determines that. I imagine it's probably the quality of the camera or the phone that you're using. But we're definitely going to see a lot more of that. And that's part of the decentralization of information about mushing. And, you know, 10 years ago, to get most information, you had to get it directly from the Iditarod Trail Committee. And now, almost anyone who has a phone, you know, can be uploading things and can be disseminating information as well.
What I'm really excited about, Alex, in terms of following mushing, is the advent of drone technology. I know that the Cusco 300 does a great job at the start of the race. They have a lot of drone coverage, and I think a lot more kennels are getting involved with that. I think that's going to be a cool way to see video of teams on the trail. Maybe not so much in terms of racing, but at least, you know, the individual kennels showing off or showcasing what they do. And there is one drone in particular I researched for this show this evening, and it's called the Parrot drone, just like the bird Parrot. It's my understanding that that drone, it cost about $499, and you can use it with your iPhone, but it can fly at just about any temperature. They had a video of, you know, something like, you know, the scene in Antarctica where, you know, they have that weather station down there, and they had a drone flying down there. And I thought that was really cool to be able to showcase the dogs and the teams by using that type of technology, because you don't see anything like that on the web, at least in terms of race coverage yet, do you?
No. And, you know, we've seen every year the Iditarod Trail Committee and the Iditarod Insider, they do a great job with having airplanes fly over mushers, and they have a lot of great footage that's always in their yearly DVD wrap-up of the race. But we haven't seen that for we haven't seen that in the way that we can see it. And what you're talking about with this drone technology is something that is going to be just absolutely huge, I think, in the next 3 or 4 years as the prices start to come down. And $500 is still a little bit expensive, but it is, if you consider that you have, you know, a radio-controlled little mini plane with a camera, with a high-quality camera, that's actually not that much. But I imagine that the prices will be coming down in the next few years, and we're really going to start to see extensive coverage and extensive filming. Similar thing to when they introduced the GoPro camera and other cameras like that could be mounted, that you could basically wear on your head. And when those first came out, they were relatively expensive, and there weren't a lot of people using them. But now, I think you can get a GoPro camera for under $100.
Right.
And so many people have them, and we've been able to get really a musher's eye view of what it's like to be on the runners in various parts of various races. So this is going to be huge, and I think it's going to get people really excited about what it feels like to actually be at various parts of the race and to be almost like you're in the race.
Right. A couple other pieces of technology that I seem to find really good coverage on is the local newspaper here, in particular their website, the Alaska Daily News, or is it Anchorage Daily News? I can't remember which. ADN.com. They do a great job during Iditarod and most other races where they do daily updates, and they typically have reporters on the ground at the checkpoints and, you know, telling their stories from that perspective, as well as Twitter. I know that's sort of your go-to platform, at least during Iditarod. If we can talk about Twitter just a second, Alex, what is the best hashtag for people to use or follow when they're following Iditarod?
Usually every year people will either use hashtag Iditarod or hashtag Iditarod plus the year. So next year it would be hashtag Iditarod 2017. And that seems to get you a lot of the tweets right there in one place.
Right. So do you have another piece of technology or way to follow the races that we haven't mentioned yet?
Yeah, there's a few more. Alaska Public Radio, which is at alaskapublic.org, sends reporters out on the trail, and they do, because it's radio, it's mostly audio reports. Sometimes they post videos, but they often have really great interviews with mushers at various checkpoints when people are taking their 24s and things like that. So I like to check in there, and there's frequently just stuff there that you won't necessarily find anywhere else.
And speaking of that, I believe it's KNOM is the call sign. I believe that's also their website. They do a fantastic job, in particular on that side of the state, during Iditarod, with their coverage. They have some excellent reporting and daily updates over there, you know, from, I guess it would be maybe Shaktulik on during Iditarod with their reporters on that station.
Yeah. We've sort of mentioned it once or twice, so let me just say the Iditarod Insider, because I don't think we've actually mentioned that as a source, but a lot of people do subscribe to the Insider. There's every year there's two packages. There's a video package and a tracker package, so you can get the GPS readings of where each of the teams is. And then there's they also have a combination package where you can get both of them. And I forget what the price of that is, but it's somewhere. I want to say it's in the neighborhood of $25 or maybe $30 for both of them, and that's very valuable. They have teams that go up and down the race, following and doing interviews. They post a lot of videos, and they last year started doing occasional recap shows. They didn't do it every night, but they would, I think Danny Seavey was one of the people doing the recaps for The Insider. So that's also a very valuable resource. A lot of races will basically give you the tracker for free, so you would not have to pay any money, you know, in the Yukon Quest to be able to see exactly where all of the teams are. But Iditarod has decided that that they are going to charge people for that, so they do.
And speaking of the trackers, some of the kennels, I know we've done it in the past, we'll use our own personal spot tracker or emergency beacon and set that up on our webpage, and you can follow individual teams along on their race. But you can also use it during training or on longer excursions. It's a great way to really follow your teams. And as you mentioned, a great way to follow not only the Iditarod but also on the Quest is by that tracker. Alex, we have about 5 minutes left. We are back in the studio here at KVRF, so we have to do some hard stops from this point forward. Do you have any other technology before we start talking about people to follow and, you know, some of their, you know, some of the, you know, the ones that write the best and that sort of thing?
I just wanted to, he doesn't always write about Iditarod, but I know he's a big Iditarod fan, so I just wanted to mention Craig Medred, whose site I believe is craigmedrednews.com.
craigmedred.news.
craigmedred.news, thank you. And he always has a very interesting and informed opinion about things. I certainly don't always agree with him, but he's someone who always has reasons for stating what he believes. He's not someone who just, you know, will shoot his mouth off.
Right.
So, and always very, very fun to read.
One quick other piece of technology for the last couple of years, I believe it's the Sportsman's Channel or the Sportsman's Network on cable and satellite has done a recap show of Iditarod. You can find that by looking up DirecTV or Comcast or whatever your provider is, and that's typically done after, so it's usually towards the end of March where they'll do a, you know, kind of a reality type show of a recap of the show. And Alex, in terms of people to follow, in particular on Facebook, you know, I know you and I just love how Danny Seavey covers the race. I think he's probably the best one, at least in my opinion, on his recaps, just from his experience. Now, of course, he does lean a little bit towards the CV family, which there's nothing wrong to that, but he gives a heck of an amount of insight on the Facebook page, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And in the past few years, Sebastian Schnulli has been someone who's been writing for, I believe, The Insider, and would follow the race on a snow machine, and he had a lot of great stuff. This year he is running the race again, so that's exciting. And I'm not sure who they'll get to fill in that job. But I also really like following Ali Seavey. She and Alan Moore have a lot of really great stuff on their Facebook pages and on their website. So that's someone who's very good to follow as well.
Also, as a personal writer, both on the different media outlets as well as on Facebook, sort of an up-and-comer in terms of the media is Jake Berkowitz. He's done it the last couple of years, I believe, for Iditarod.com. Maybe it was the Alaska Daily News. Great job, great insight. Of course, he was a top musher for many years in the top 10 in both Iditarod and the Quest for several years, and he's got a tremendous amount of insight, as well as Joe Runyon. He's also on Iditarod. I believe he'll be back this year, and you mentioned Craig Medred over at craigmedred.news. Anybody else that you really like to follow and sort of enjoy their insight on the web?
You know, there are a lot of individual mushers that I follow. Karin Hendrickson does a lot of stuff on Facebook these days, and usually I follow her, and there's a lot of the back of the pack mushers who will do a lot on Facebook, especially leading up to the race. There additionally are a couple of Facebook groups for Iditarod fans. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but I know that there are some. And then there's a group of people who hang out online at the on the chat showing the finish camera in Nome. And I know that there are people who will spend hours chatting with other Iditarod fans, just watching the camera showing the Burled Arch.
Right, and that goes on pretty much. Does that go on from first to last, or do they have it just for a period of time? That live cam there.
They have it from first to last, I believe.
Nice. In terms of being a part of the race, of course, pre-Iditarod, you can go to a lot of the talks here in Anchorage. You can go to the Iditarod banquet. You can go to the ceremonial start. You can go to the restart. Lots of the kennels up here put on talks during Iditarod week at hotels and galleries and restaurants and that sort of thing. And just about every race, not only up here in Alaska, but in the lower 48, have a finisher banquet. And if you're in the local area, you can always stop by the finisher's banquet and be a part of that. There's usually a nominal fee, and you get dinner and, you know, get to hear the stories when they give out awards and that sort of thing. It's typically the night of the top finishers. So if they're coming in on Sunday morning, it would be Sunday night, potentially Monday night, depending on the race itself. And then, of course, Iditarod, they do it, about a week and a half now after the first finisher comes in, now that they're coming in so fast. They're really pushing back their banquet, aren't they?
Yeah, and it used to be that some of the teams would not have finished by the time they did the finisher's banquet in Nome. But the past few years, all of the teams have been in before the banquet starts, and the banquet is usually on Sunday night, 2 weeks after the restart in Willow.
Right. Alex, anything else you want to mention in terms of following mushing, at least on the 2016-17 season?
I'm sure there are a bunch of things that we have left out. So I would like to encourage anyone who has a favorite source of information that we haven't mentioned to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or email and just let us know what your favorite source is. And if it's something we forgot, we'll mention it. And if it's something we're not aware of, we'll check it out and then talk about it.
And make sure you do follow Alex over on Twitter. He's very active there during the mushing season. He's at Coldfoot Films. I am at Robert Forto. You can also find me at Mushing Radio. I don't update that Twitter feed very often. I know that one just is updated during Iditarod. But on at Dogworks Radio on Twitter, it's very interesting there because we do sort of a random post about every 4 hours or so, one pops up. So in our library of 400-odd shows, they will pop up on a rotating basis there. And we get a lot of traffic from those, Alex, people listening to those older shows as they pop up on Twitter and Facebook. So a good place to land there. We're also on Facebook, as I mentioned at the top. At Dogworks Radio, and we post all of our episodes there that you can download, and as well as over on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there, as well as give us a review if you like us, or if you don't. We would appreciate that review. It helps out with our rankings. Alex, anything else before we go?
I don't know if we mentioned Mushing Magazine.
We did not.
But Mushing Magazine has a podcast. I don't know how often it's updated, but that's another source to check out.
Very good. So on behalf of my co-host, Alex Stein, we are here at KVRF 89.7, a brand new place on the radio here in the Valley. We've stretched our reach a little bit. Now we can be heard all the way up past Meadow Lake. So if you are here in the Valley, you can listen to us all the way through the Valley, which is a cool thing. I know we have lots of listeners up here, and we're going to be doing a lot more here in the studio. Hopefully that will help out our audio and some streaming services and that sort of thing. So we're looking forward to that. So we do want to give a shout out to our hosts here at Radio Free Palmer. Alex, we'll talk again next time, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you. This is Robert Forto on behalf of my co-host, Alex Stein. This is Mushing Radio. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.